everyone, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with Tonsoni, sponsored by Delphi Bracketology. This episode, another Bracket U show where we talk about our most recent bracket changes and moves from our high school bracketology club. We'll be right back with that information after a little bit of info from our sponsors. Okay, we're back here on this episode of Bracket U. It is the first day of March. March Madness is just around the corner. Several conferences will be ending their regular season play this week and setting the stage for their own conference tournaments. The winners of those conference tournaments will be the automatic qualifiers for the 32 conferences. The rest of the field will be 36 at-large berths based on overall quality of a resume. And that's what we've been doing for the entire season, but it really gets to be an important stage right now to look at the resumes. So we're going to share with you in a brief podcast here a little bit of our decision-making. We met Tuesday as a group. We also met Wednesday night in our one of our B-dubs trips where we had seven or eight people out of our club meet to really scrub through the resumes. We do a lot early in the year just looking at numbers of wins. The last month, we look into the quality of wins. We look into other metrics and try to gauge what the committee is going to do. We have a couple young men that are really looking into the past results to see how committees in the past have dealt with a team like Virginia Tech, who has a 4-6 quad one record, but no losses outside of that quad one. How do you compare that to a Wisconsin club who's got double the amounts of quad one, wins at 8-7, is 3-2 in quad two, though. How do you compare those teams? And we're trying to figure that out. We're not perfect. Our work can be found at DelphiBracketology.com. You can follow us on at Delphi Brackets on a Twitter. And we're trying to make sure we have some updated content on our webpage for the next 2 or 3 weeks. So let's run down a little bit of our discussion on Wednesday. Obviously, some games were played after our meeting adjourned and Thursday night, and things will change in the next 2 weeks before the final seeding. We believe the number one seeds are somewhat firm in Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, and Kentucky right now in some order. The teams that could get number ones are probably North Carolina and Michigan State. I do not think you'll see three ACC teams get number one seeds. Tennessee has an opportunity to get back in that discussion, while we believe Michigan is destined for the two line. And then our three seeds, Houston, LSU, Purdue, Marquette, those are also somewhat solid. LSU's made a big jump by beating Kentucky and Tennessee, although they were helped by a couple of calls that were controversial. Some movement here. Houston might be able to move up to a two seed. You always, if you're Purdue and Marquette fans, you want to finish strong. Even LSU, you have teams in the 4 and 5 range who are really strong. Kansas has a great resume. The issue with Kansas is what's the committee going to look at with their injuries and then the Vic announcement of where he's taking indefinite leave. What team is going to be there and how to judge the team? Normally it's the body of work, the entire year's results, but Kansas has really had three teams. And so that's something we're going to try to look at. But for right now, we have Kansas on the 4 seed line, even though their resume is probably a 3 resume, maybe even a 2 resume at this time. The teams 14 through 19 are very, very close. And we're not sure we have them in the right order. We have Virginia Tech, Texas Tech, and Wisconsin as our 4 seeds, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Florida State as our 5 seeds. And there can be arguments really there to flip all kinds of teams around. Wisconsin has the most quad one wins with 8. You have Kansas State, Florida State with 6, Texas Tech, Iowa State with 5. Texas Tech has 8 quad 2 wins, which is the most in that group. So, you know, you look at the number of quality wins within quad one and quad two, Virginia Tech stands out, Iowa State and Kansas State stand out. So it just depends on which piece of criteria the committee is going to look at to differentiate teams, as these 6 teams are very, very close. And these 6 teams are going to split 2 seed lines. So you can make a good guess and be wrong on the seed line for teams that are this close. Right behind those teams, we have Maryland and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's an interesting team. Their net is 20. That would put them as a 5. We have them as the top 6 seed. They have 8 quad 1 wins and 4 quad 2 wins. No bad losses. An excellent strength of schedule. But something the NCAA committee is doing on their team sheets, and we found a place on the NCAA website where you can access the actual team sheets that the committee will be looking at. They're breaking up quad 1 and quad 2 into into 2 categories each. So there's a quad 1A and a quad 1B and a quad 2A and a quad 2B. And we're not sure historically, I think that's been looked at in a different way, but this is the first time those team sheets have had that kind of categories. So we've added that to our spreadsheet, and we're going to be discussing in the next week, does Texas Tech with only one top-tier quad one win, how does that compare to Kansas State's 4 top-tier or quad 1A wins? So we have some work to do yet here to make those kinds of decisions, but we think Mississippi State's an example that they have a large number of quad one wins, but most of them are at the bottom of the numbers, if you will, that the NCAA has selected. So they have 1 quad 1A win, and they have 7 quad 1B wins. And so while you look at their data, it looks great. But we feel that Kansas State, Iowa State, Florida State, Maryland have better wins than Mississippi State, and that quality will win out in a close comparison. Then, you know, Nevada, we've dropped Nevada to a 6. They have 2 losses now. The committee really liked Nevada, and they have no wins or losses against quad 1. We've said this on every podcast. It gets repetitive. They had another loss added in recently, and so we think they're going to be around their net of 18. And so we've slotted them in at 22 simply because the teams above them that we mentioned prior, the Virginia Techs, Texas Techs, their resumes are really, really solid enough to be better than a Nevada 0-0. As you look at the teams below Nevada, a lot of the teams are under 500 in the top tier. Iowa 4-7, Villanova 4-5, Louisville 4-9. And so we believe Nevada will fit in there with their 8 quad 2 wins, and it will be very close to their net rating. And so we're slotting Nevada in as a 6. A lot of people may still have them as a 4 or a 5. Iowa, Villanova, Cincinnati, Louisville all are in a bunch of teams that we're looking at between the 6 and 7 line. You know, Iowa and Villanova are on the 6 line because they have 4 quad 1 wins. They have a lot of quad 2 wins. They have no bad losses. And that's something our committee will discuss, too, is the value of some bad losses. We looked at 2017 and 2018, and we think bad losses come into play when there is a tight grouping of 4 or 5 teams. And then that might be the determining factor in maybe a tie-breaking situation. Buffalo is another mid-major that is somewhat hard to seed. They're having a great year at, I believe, 24-3 on our latest update record. I believe they're going to be a 7 seed. You may see them slip to an 8 seed if they get a loss in the regular season or the tournament. But we believe Buffalo will be in regardless. Baylor is the interesting team. They have 2 quad 4 losses, which are the worst losses to have, but they have some really, really outstanding wins. They have 3 quad 1A wins if we go to that separation, and they have 6 top quad B to quad 2B wins. So they're going to be interesting. Do they slide up to the 7, or do they stay on an 8 or 9 line? But Baylor really stands out when you get to the teams that have 9, 10, 11 losses. I think they have separated themselves with the quality of wins if they can maintain that through the rest of the season. Syracuse, another team that quality of wins are standing out for us. The win at Duke might be a determining factor over an Auburn, St. John's, Ole Miss, TCU, Ohio State, those teams that just are below a Syracuse. I think quality of wins when the resumes are tight. Washington is an interesting team. They've played well, and then they lose to Cal and take a quad four loss. They're 22-6 overall. They're the leader of the Pac-12 conference, but with the Pac-12 being down, it's interesting to see what will happen. And there is history that the winner of the regular season, if they don't win the tournament, does not get an invite. I think Washington at 22-6, with only one bad loss and an excellent strength of schedule, I think Washington is in regardless of a late season collapse and early exit in the Pac-12. But their seeding, at one point we thought maybe a 6 or a 7. I think it's really going to be around an 8 or a 9 just due to the lack of opportunities. St. John's leads off our 9 seed line. They're a team that has some wins over Marquette and Villanova, but they lose at home to Xavier on Thursday night. And they have 3 quad 3 losses, and it'll be interesting to see what that does to their resume. We were talking in our group meetings this week about maybe St. John's being a 7 seed, and we just don't see that now. We think they're going to bounce around 8, 9, or 10 by the end of the year. We have 3 teams on the 9 line that are kind of difficult too: Ole Miss, TCU, and Ohio State. Some nice wins, also some difficult losses. They're just kind of in the middle. But I think those teams, barring, again, complete losses down the stretch, will find themselves in the tourney, where you find a huge difficult is in our last 11 at-large berths. A lot of 11-loss teams, a 13-loss team, several 8 and 9-loss teams in this. And the 2 teams with the best record, UCF, Central Florida, and Utah State, they have minimal resumes. Central Florida has 0 quad 1 wins. Utah State has 1. Compare that to Texas, who is 15-13, but they have 4 quad 1 wins and 4 quad 2 wins. And of those quad 1 and 2 wins, 6 of the 8 are quality top-tier wins. Texas doesn't win on the road. Texas has a strong strength of schedule. We believe that Texas could be as high as an 8 seed resume-wise, and they kind of remind us of Vanderbilt in the past that got in at 19-15 with an excellent strength of schedule and some good wins on their resume. So right now we have Texas as a 10, could move up a little bit. I imagine if they win a couple games, they'll have some opportunities coming up. Oklahoma is just a struggle. We have them as the 10. Their data numbers are acceptable. 3 quad 1 wins, 6 quad 2, no bad losses, great strength of schedule. They just don't have quality on their resume. They don't have good wins and enough good wins. Florida is also on our 10 seed line at 17-11. Seton Hall, 16-11. Alabama, 17-11. Minnesota, 18-11. They're a 2-game losing streak from really being in jeopardy. And so when you have 11 teams at the back end of your bracket, it really makes for some interesting seeding. And when you're trying to match the committee and for the bracket matrix and you get points for accuracy, this is where it really takes a lot of study and a lot of attempts, and you don't ever feel good. The toughest team for us is 2 teams, Arizona State and North Carolina State. North Carolina State has an excellent net of 32. Arizona State does not. Their net is 63. Arizona State has 2 quad 3 losses, 2 quad 4 losses. They continue to surprise with their up and down nature. North Carolina State has a horrible strength of schedule and only 2 quad 1 wins, and they have a quad 3 loss. We think both of those teams are in, simply because if we wanted to take them out, the bubble is not extremely enticing or exciting. And so we believe they're in. They're in our last 4 right now and would have to play a play-in game. But these teams are 1 or 2 away. The interesting thing for us is if the net is very, very important, then maybe a North Carolina State is up on the 11 line or maybe even up on the 10 line, because a 32 net, if you took it 0 through 60, 32 would equate to the last 8 seed. So we have them down on the 12. That's a big drop from their net. but we believe that their resume just doesn't have what it takes to stay in the 9 or 10 range. Arizona State, again, the same issue. They have some nice wins. They've defeated Kansas. But, boy, the losses are mounting, and we'll see. And when you get to the last two teams in, Central Florida and Utah State, we put them in simply because their net was in the 30s. And again, we're wondering if the net with a new tool is going to be a little bit more of a criteria than the RPI had been in the past. They need to win some games to stay in. I think the best team that we have out right now is Clemson. And in fact, we wrote a little piece on the website about why Clemson versus Utah State, and we selected Utah State. And as we have looked further since that article was put out, Clemson might be making an argument to be put back in, and they could always do something about it with a good win. Then we have a couple of mid-majors, Lipscomb and Furman, who I think really the committee needs to look at and would be welcomed in the tournament by most fans as opposed to some of these 12, 13, 14 loss teams. I know that there are a lot of fans of the Butlers and the Indianas and the Providences and those that want to believe that their teams should be in, and I'm a fan of one of those teams. But I'm not sure if you lose more than 13 games in the regular season and conference tournament, I would like to see at least that as a determining factor. You cannot have more than 13 losses. I know some people are clamoring for 500 records. I'm not sure I like that because in good conferences might be punished and weak conferences would be rewarded. And then that puts an emphasis on conference play and not the total body of work, the non-conference and the conference play. But I think there has to be, you know, we've advocated for two things: restrict the number of losses total, and then also save some spots for some mid-majors that don't have the opportunity. And the football program, the football committee does that with a non-Power 5 spot saved. I'm not sure why there can't be 2 to 4 spots saved for some of these: North Carolina, Greensboro, Lipscomb, Furman, Murray State, teams that I think most fans would love to see have a shot at some of the bigger schools as opposed to a team with 14, 15, 16 losses making the tournament. The other thing, fun thing for us is we got to seed the automatic qualifiers. So from Belmont down to Radford to Drake to Wright State, and you're in the bracketology business, you get points for being accurate all the way down from 12 seed to the 16th seed. We're spending a lot of time looking at the historical trends of how the committee placed those teams. A lot of fans, unless you're fans of those schools and in those communities, might not be interested in where those seeds are. But it's fascinating to see where those teams might be seeded and then know that they're going to play your 13 seeds are going to play your 4 seeds and your 14 seeds are going to play your 3 seeds to see who might have an upset potential there. But, you know, we're going back through this. We're settling on, again, it is your overall standing. Your quad one record matters. I think your strength of schedule matters. I think quad two comes into play, especially when you have lower numbers. I think Virginia Tech is a solid team. I was doubting them earlier, but 4-6 and then no losses outside of that and 6 quad two losses and beating Duke. I think that's why Virginia Tech moved up a couple spots for us. That's why Nevada and North Carolina State, I think, moved down simply because of the quad one wins. But maybe Nevada doesn't move down as far because they have 8 quad two wins. So it's a balance of criteria, and we hope to provide as accurate a situation as possible. Look for us on bracketology.com. We'll try to put out some content on a regular basis under our bracket news and bracket info sections. We're going to start putting out some headlines, some key games, and what that does to the bracket. We'll try to do that every other day or every day for the rest of the time before Selection Sunday. We also have some students who write up teams of the week and other things. So check us out on Bracketology, DelphiBracketology.com. Please interact with us on Twitter at Delphi Brackets. We'll try to answer your questions as much as possible. Please understand that we don't hate your team. We like seeding teams in general, and we're going to look at the overall picture. And so we're not out to get any one particular team by our seeding choices or our preferences for fans of the LSU program who have been really good followers of ours on Twitter. We appreciate a couple accounts from them. Iowa State fans have joined in along with the local Purdue and Indiana fans. So it's really nice getting to know some fans from across the country. We wish everyone success in all their teams to win games and move up the bracket. We'd like to see everyone participate in March Madness. And we know how hard it is if your team's not. So find us at those spots for Delphi Bracketology and Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, saying so long. I hope you enjoyed this issue of Bracket U. Happy basketball watching.